Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Q3 conference call, and thank you very much for your interest in joining today and your interest in CropEnergies. First of all, from all of us at CropEnergies, we wish you and your family a happy and healthy new year, hopefully coming soon out of the pandemic, and we are looking forward to working together with you in 2022. Today, our conference call for the third quarter for the business year 2021-2022. I hope that you all have seen, and I hope that the sound is fine so that you can hear me and that you have found on our website, we have published the press releases for today, the quarterly report, and our presentation. During the call, which will be followed by Q&A sessions, we will go through the presentation and happy to take your questions afterwards. What is new at CropEnergies? Let's have a look on the agenda you will find on page two of our presentation. The topics of today are the financial results as in the third quarter, and we have already published via an MRR release on December 15 our preliminary figures for Q3, which we confirm today and disclose the full set of financial data. On the same day, in the same MRR on 15 December 2021, we have increased our outlook for the current financial year to an operating profit range of 110 million-140 million euro, which we confirm also today. Let's look what is on the highlights for this conference call, what is on the agenda. We will discuss the market and political environment. We will have a look into the development of CropEnergies Group, and here you can see an increased production compared to previous year. We have published today, this morning, a press release on the bio-based chemicals project, which is renewable ethyl acetate with a project partner, Johnson Matthey. I will come back to this point at the end of the presentation, but let me please put this into context already right now when we discuss the agenda, because it's for us a very important milestone in delivering upon our strategy that we have communicated during our last annual conference and the general assembly, which was in May, respectively July 2021. Our strategy that we have communicated is innovation from biomass. As we have shown there, it grounds on four pillars. One is the sustainable and climate-friendly fuel. It's our traditional market with, for example, E10 and our traditional ethanol. Second was the new business area, bio-based chemicals. That means ethanol derivatives as an alternative to fossil raw materials. Third pillar of our new strategy is the usage of biogenic CO2, and the fourth pillar is protein products. The press release that we disclosed today together with Johnson Matthey is an important milestone to us for delivering upon the second pillar of our strategy, the new business area, ethanol derivatives as an alternative to fossil raw materials. I will come back to this point in more detail at the end of the presentation. Let's start with market and financials. If you could please move on to slide number three, which is the political overview. Let's start with politics. I can be quite brief here on politics today because there's no significant news since our last conference call. We have discussed already that the Fit for 55 legislative package was communicated by the European Commission, and now what is ongoing, it's the discussion in the parliament. The different committees on European level of the European Parliament have started their work. That means there are commissions in place for looking after the RED II and RED III implementations. Discussions are ongoing. The key features of the RED II or some say RED III proposals from the European Commission, I'm briefly on that, is an increase of the GHG intensity of fuels of 13% by 2030. The crop-based biofuels, they can contribute to that in the limit of 7%. There will be no more multiple countings except for advanced biofuels or renewable fuels from non-biological origins in aviation, maritime, All in all, you see there are positive approaches, but we believe there is even more ambition needed to significantly decarbonize transport, or to defossilize transport. For example, when it comes to the GHG intensity of fuels, we believe that 13 is not ambitious enough, from APUR level, that's the European Ethanol Association. We believe that it should be at least 16%. There are other initiatives on the Fit for 55 package, for example, the emission trading system. So this, from our point of view, this is a sensible move. When it comes to energy taxation, there is still a ill-founded disadvantage for biofuels, which we are not convinced that that's the right thing. But energy taxation, this will at the end need unanimity of all EU member states, so this is questionable whether there will be sensible moves. An important point is, we discussed already last time, is the CO2 limits for new cars. So there is in the Fit for 55 package a 100% reduction target by 2035 on a tank-to-wheel basis. We believe this is arbitrary, and we believe this is misleading. So our position is that we need a well-to-wheel methodology, which includes the entire life cycle of a car, in order to have a fair comparison between cars with biofuels on internal combustion engines and electromobility. And so we claim for that, as CropEnergies, but also as the German Bioethanol Association, and on a pure level. And here I can give you a news which is positive and goes in the right directive. So as I said at the beginning, that the committees have started their work with initial discussions, and there is a, it's called projet d'avis, that means an opinion of the Commission de l'Industrie et de la Recherche de l'Energie, that means from the Commission of Industry, Research and Energy. And here the rapporteur, Dominique Riquet, also claims in his amendment to the RED III proposal that there should be a life cycle analysis. So this is exactly what we claim for, and this goes in the right direction. This does not necessarily mean that at the end the EU Commission goes for it, but we believe this is a sensible move, and this is really something we need to discuss to have technical neutrality when it comes for decarbonizing or defossilizing transport. So far on politics, let's have a look into the markets, what is new here. Please have a look on page 4. Here you can find an overview on the market's developments. So let's start at the right-hand side with the graph. You can see that 2021 has shown a recovery in fuel ethanol sales coming out of the pandemic step by step. And we believe that there is a strong increase in fuel ethanol for 2022, finally then hopefully getting out of the pandemic. So demand on non-fuel remains stable, as you can see. And in total, we assume that consumptions of ethanol in the EU27 in UK markets should be around 9.1 million cubic meters, compared to a production of 8.1. What is new on E10? So we discussed already last time that there was a successful launch of E10 in Sweden and in UK in August and September respectively. So this led to an increase in demand. And so also I always make that point that it's not good to see Germany here on the last point with a 16% market share. But slightly, we also increase in Germany with the E10 market share. And the latest BAFA data has shown that on October, that means the last month available, ethanol E10 share is already at 17%. So slightly getting better, but not yet where other European countries are when it comes to the E10 market share. Let's have a look on the other market development, that means on the ethanol prices, feedstock prices and energy. You can find that starting page number 5. Let me start with ethanol. So in the third quarter, we have seen record prices. You see that on the right-hand graph, it's the green line with an all-time high on 11th of November at 1,518 euros per cubic meter, a record level never seen before. But you can also see the high volatility. That means even in one month, at the end of November, the spot price was at 940. That means within one month, we had a delta of 600 euros per cubic meter. This has never been seen like this. So a high volatility, but on average, on a very high level. And this helped us to produce such strong figures, which I will show later on. When it comes to the feedstock prices, the grain prices, that's also the green line in the right-hand bottom chart. You can see that grain prices are clearly above last year or last year's. So in Q3, the grain prices next expiry stood at 272 euros per ton compared to 202 in previous year's period. So here's a strong increase in grain prices. Nevertheless, the forecasts for the harvest are quite optimistic, so stable on world level, but positive on EU level. So for 2021-22, EU production is forecasted at 291 million tons, so 10 million tons over last year. And this compares to a consumption of 262 million tons forecasted. That means still a strong surplus production in Europe. Let's have a look into the energy markets. I mean, you as financial analysts, you are all aware of the distortions in the energy markets. So we have seen very strong increases in gas prices, high volatility really compared to the last two business years, where you see that's the black and the blue line. So there, the energy prices were quite stable. And since the beginning of this financial year, getting out of Corona and the distortions linked to that, we have seen tremendous increases in energy prices. So this is steam, electricity, and gas. The reasons are quite known, but haven't been so clearly foreseen. So the LNG exports are lower. We have issues with the supply from Russia, for example, and the uncertainties of commissioning of Nord Stream 2. And also right now, the tensions in Ukraine and Kazakhstan do not help to calm the situation. So there is still a strong volatility to be awaited on the energy markets. How does all of this translate into figures? Let's have a look on Q3 isolated, which you find on page number seven. Let me start with production. So in the third quarter, production was stable but slightly lower than previous year's period. So we were down 5% at 258,000 cubic meters compared to 272,000 cubic meters in Q3 prior year. When it comes to revenues and operating figures, this has been an exceptional quarter for CropEnergies. So within revenues of close to 380 million euro, we have a record quarter in sales. We haven't had quarterly revenues above 300. So this is the new record for CropEnergies, and we're very proud about that. And also when it comes to the operating profit with 56 million euro operating result within one quarter, this is a new record. So Q3 was clearly positive and strongly supported by the high ethanol price that I've already shown. And on the contrast, we also were confronted with higher energy prices and higher raw material prices. But the ethanol price effect was more significant, leading to this extraordinary result. You find more details on operating profit on page number eight. Revenues already stated, plus 41%, getting to 318 million euros. Cost of materials were up, reaching 222 million euro. So this was led to the fact of higher production, thus higher raw material intake, and also higher raw material prices. The further operating expenses and income are quite stable, and all in all, this then led to this very significant operating profit of 56 million euro in Q3. Let's move from the quarterly analysis to the 9 months figures. You can find the overview on page number 9. The overall trend is the same here on a 9 months basis. We have benefited from higher ethanol sales and prices. On the one side, this was the positive effect. On the other side, we were confronted with higher raw material prices and higher energy costs. But all in all, the ethanol price effect was more significant and thus helped to increase the operating profit, which after 9 months turns out at 94 million euro. Also, our net financial debt position could be increased, and as of end of November, we stand at 237 million euro net financial assets. Let's look into more details below the operating profit. So below operating profit, you can find the financial result. In after 9 months, this turns out slightly negative at minus 2 million euro. As I have already stated in the prior conference calls, our financial results always fluctuates a little bit around the zero line, depending on the euro-British pound relation. So in after 9 months here, we stand at minus 2 million negative financial result linked to unrealized currency effects. The tax rate increases to 35% and earnings per share come out fairly constant at 69 cents per share. Let's have a look into cash flow. You find that on page 11. So in the first 9 months, I would say this is a strong cash flow. So cash flow came out at 93 million euro. If we add the changes in net working capital, we have a strong net cash flow from operating activities at 131 million euro. In the first 9 months, we had investments in properly plant and equipment of roughly 60 million euro. But the forecast, so there will be, we assume quite a strong also cash outflow for CapEx in Q4. That means we assume that a full year effect of investing activities in property, plant and equipment will be in the mid or high 30s. You can see cash flow from financing activity amounts to minus 31 million. This is predominantly the dividend being paid in July, amounting to 30.5 million euro. And last year's figure here, the cash out for the dividend was 26.2 million euro. All in all, our net financial assets position as of end of February came out at 237 million euro. Let's come to the outlook. As I said, in our MAR release mid of December, we have already increased the outlook and we confirmed this as of today. So we see for the entire financial year a strong increase in ethanol revenues, and that compensates for the high raw material and energy costs, which you have seen on the slides. So our forecast for the business year, which ends end of February, is to reach a revenue between 1.07 and 1.11 million euro. That means we assume for the first time in our history to, how you call it, franchir, to transpass the 1 billion in turnover. And our EBITDA assumption for the financial year 21-22 is a range of 150 to 185 million euro, and this corresponds to an operating profit of 110 to 140. We have made the assumption in the MAR, and we also confirmed this today, that we have taken the assumptions to not to have significant mobility restrictions in the EU, despite the increase of the spread of the Omicron variant. That's clear. We see this trend, and it's we are clearly not yet out of the pandemic. So this is a risk factor. But nevertheless, we believe that given the high vaccination rates, given the political willingness to keep, let's say, business and life ongoing, so we assume that there should be no major market distortions and no mobility restrictions in the EU. Voila, this is our outlook, as stated mid of December and confirmed as of today. Then let me come to the last point, which I already addressed in the agenda. This is an update on our strategy. So together with Johnson Matthey, we disclosed this morning a press release on the milestone for us, for our strategy, for our first biochemicals project. So this is a strong milestone for Crop Energies. So we lay the foundation stone for our bio-based chemicals as new business line with renewable ethyl acetate. So what we have done, we have entered into an engineering license and technical service agreement with Johnson Matthey, and this should allow us, if once then finally decided upon, to produce 50,000 tons of ethyl acetate, renewable ethyl acetate, close to our factory in Zeitz. The investment assumption as of today, but we have to go into detailed engineering, so the investment assumption is an investment of 80 to 100 million euro for this plant, and what we want to produce there is renewable ethyl acetate, which has a by far lower carbon footprint than fossil products. And renewable ethyl acetate is very interesting. It's because it's used as base chemical in a lot of range of products. For example, it's used in cosmetics, it's used in flexible packaging and coatings, in paints and adhesives, as well as in food and beverages. And there is not too much renewable product on the market, so this is a advantage for Crop Energies and in line with our strategy, innovation from biomass. What is also interesting in this production process that we have in mind, that the co-product of ethyl acetate production would be green hydrogen. You are all aware that green hydrogen is very much interesting for the future. So each and every country has a hydrogen plan, and with this, it's a minor part. So if you produce ethyl acetate, the main part of the project is ethyl acetate, but as to a smaller degree, we also can produce a renewable hydrogen out of this process. And this can then, together with the CO2 that we have from the fermentation process when producing ethanol, could be used together in a power-to-X downstream route, for example, for producing e-fuels. So the final decision for this investment will be made in mid-22. So we start right now together with Johnson Matthey with the detailed engineering, and then the final investment decision should be mid-2022. So you can see out of that, so Crop Energies is fully committed to delivering on our new strategy, which is innovation from biomass, as we have announced in the annual press conference in May in the General Assembly 21, that means last year. And as I said at the beginning, so we see four pillars for the development of Crop Energies. One is the sustainable and climate-friendly fuels. Second is bio-based chemicals, where we lay today the foundation stone, the CO2 business, and the proteins. And we at Crop Energies, we are very enthusiastic about bringing all those strategic ideas into concrete projects. So thank you very much for your interest so far, and I'm now happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchdown telephone. To withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. And the first question is from the line of Axel Herlinghaus from DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and also from my side, a very happy and healthy new year. So I would have several questions to the to acetate production, if I may. It would be three. I guess they are in a context. The first one would be, when could acetyl acetate production ideally start, when the process is going and you give the okay in mid-22? And what would the ramp up look like on the timeline? Perhaps I ask my questions one after another, so this would be the first one in this complex.
Yeah, I mean, so we have, as I said, we have entered into an agreement. This is done. We have already also acquired the land that we foresee close to sites. If we have a final positive outcome, which we assume for the detailed engineering, the decision to go for the project would be in summer this year, and then starts with if this step is followed by a detailed engineering, then start of production that means erecting of the plant, and then start of production could be end of 2024.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Then the second in this complex, is a moderate expansion of ethanol production possible or planned in connection with a plant acetyl acetate plant, or does the ethanol required for the production of acetyl acetate reduce the marketable fuel for ethanol, for fuel ethanol?
Thank you. That's a good question, Mr. Harlinghaus. Indeed, we have this flexibility. So when we go for ethyl acetate production, we can use both ways. We can use own ethanol, and we can also use traded ethanol. So this gives us the flexibility, as we said. I mean, we have a lot of discussions with it. I'm personally not convinced about a strong and quick ramp up of electromobility. But if it would come so, we would have the possibility to take own ethanol then for ethyl acetate production. If there will be still a very strong ethanol demand, we can use also imports or outside, that means trading ethanol.
Okay,
so we have this flexibility to go both ways.
Okay, and then the last one of this complex would be, can you give us at least a rough outline of the market, respectively the market opportunities for ethyl acetate? What is the status quo right now, and what are estimates for long-term development of supply and demand, and what players are on the playing ground?
Yeah, it's a little bit sensitive market information, so I cannot disclose every detail, but I would like to be broad to give you an indication. So we assume that the world market of ethyl acetate is in the mid of let's say mid 3 million cubic meters, and the European market makes roughly 15% of that market. And what is interesting for our project, that the European need for that is half European production, half of imports. So we assume to be competitive against imports. And the big advantage of our project idea together with Johnson Matthey is that it's really a green product. So almost the entire ethyl acetate on the world market today comes from fossil origins. And that makes this market very interesting. And we believe also that what preliminary discussions with potential customers have shown, that there's a strong customer demand for a green product, because it goes in so many, ethyl acetate goes in so many day-to-day or daily products, that there's a strong need for a green product. So this makes this market for us very interesting.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll leave it for the moment here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anton Brink from Antaurus. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mader. I guess my key focus would be to have a sense of the enthusiasm that you have for the new project that you launch. Obviously, as you mentioned, you see this as a very attractive market, but can you say anything on the returns you're targeting, on the sort of the additional EBITDA this should bring in the long run? If you could help us there a bit, that would be helpful.
We have not yet the final business model, so but our preliminary analysis, they are promising. And as a rule of thumb, so for each and every investment that we have in mind for accomplishing on our strategy, we have a hurdle rate of 15% return on capital. That means internal rate of return. That means if we are to invest in such a project or in other projects, a investment volume of 100 million, our ambition level is then to reach 15%. That means up to 15 million operating profit. But we will have to see the final outlay of the plant and the markets and the discussions with customers, whether this is reachable. But it's our ambition level is 15% return on capital or return on investment.
Clear. Then a second question would be on the net financial assets. Because, I mean, even post this investment, you are basically holding a lot of cash.
Yeah.
Which is now, I think, borrowed to Südzucker. But
yeah.
I'm, for me as a shareholder, I mean, I think you could generate greater returns on that cash, especially given the clear cash nature of the ethanol business and the track record, so to say, in the past couple of years there. Is there any potential for you to do more with the cash towards the shareholders, or will you sit on that cash in order to be able to engage in new projects?
How do you mean that question? Are you asking for whether there's a potential for higher dividends? Is that the background of your question?
Share buyback, extraordinary dividend, higher payout
okay.
rates, all options.
Okay, then let me start with a share buyback. I mean, we have the approval from the General Assembly to do so, but there's no intention to do so for the time being. So there's no intention to buy back shares. When it comes to the dividends, as every year, so we will close the business year, then see the results, the outlook for the coming financial year, and also the dividend yield. And what we have done in the past is targeting a payout ratio of 30% to 40%, giving an attractive dividend yield for the shares. So this will continue. But the major part of our cash that is explicitly built up in past years to execute upon our strategy. So we have started already with, for example, as we have disclosed last time, the erection of the biomass boiler in biomass to increase the CO2 friendliness of our production. That is one action point. The others are all the projects now coming for the four strategy pillars. So today we communicate on the bio-based chemicals, but we have other projects in mind. And step by step, as they mature and come to execution, we will communicate. And but we have a strong project tasks or how you call that projects in mind that we want to accomplish, and that means the cash predominantly is foreseen for building up the new businesses alongside those four strategy pillars.
Mm-hmm. Clear.
Another option for sure that we do not exclude is M&A. So we also look into the markets, and from time to time there come M&A opportunities. So we follow upon that. So far we couldn't be successful. I mean, the projects we have seen so far, if there was we look for a strategic fit and so on, and technical fit and regional fit. And for the projects that we were interested in, at the end of the day, we couldn't succeed given the high amount of cash. For example, also PE houses have, and they are willing to pay much more higher prices than we were saying we were willing to do so. But I do not exclude M&A either. So there could be an opportunity, and if there comes an opportunity, we would go for it if it's a sound business model and a clear advantage to Krupp Energies.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. We have a follow-up question from Axel Herlinghaus from DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for taking my question. I would just like to ask for the production number of 3Q. It was 258, a little bit lower than last year. Was it a special situation, or was it maintenance? Is there a reason for that? Because there should be good demand, or nevertheless, the prices are high, because I guess export situation is more favorable for you right now.
Yeah, I mean, quarterly figures can vary. Yeah, I mean, if we look into nine months production figures, there you can see that production is up. When we have a comparison, pure Q3 against Q3, you are right, we have seen a decrease of 5%. There were some maintenance activities and some minor technical issues, but nothing special. So, but this can happen that we have some maintenance or some technical issues. So all in all, for Q3, we're 5% lower, but for 9 months, it is 6% up.
And if I may, perhaps a question to the export situation. So if one looks to the numbers of the Department of Energy in the United States, there is to be seen that there is less export in the direction of European Union. I guess situation in Brazil is also, and you mentioned that in your presentation, is also being more comfortable for you. So do you have a view on the next 12 months referring to the exports situation, which you could share with us?
Yeah, I believe that the import situation will remain quite stable. So it's on a worldwide basis, there's a strong demand for ethanol. So mandates are increasing and mobility is increasing. So there is a strong demand for ethanol that reduces the volumes available for export. So I believe what we have seen over the last months, it will continue like this on an annual basis. Imports have been around 1 million. So I think that would be our base case assumptions for the years to come. And if you have a look into the market figures that I have shown, then the delta between production and consumption in the EU and UK market is roughly 1 million. So this is also for the foreseeable future, this is our assumption. Yeah, so there might be imports of roughly 1 million per year.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Thomas Schießler from Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Good morning, Dr. Meder, and a healthy good new year for you. And
thank you.
Two questions, if I may. One is on operations. How is the logistic doing, especially in the UK? And how is your impression on the resilience of your production portfolio and production outlay if it comes to COVID restrictions or COVID distortions? The other question is on your collaboration with Johnson Matthey. Could you share a little bit more light on the volume balance you are heading for? So what will go, what is the main product you will produce? It's Essigsäure Ester, and that's all. Then this will be coupled towards e-fuels or towards end-use market in cosmetics, etc., or how shall I try to reckon the volumes and the values you are heading for?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schießler. So when it comes to operations and logistics in UK, so this has been tense. So it started, we discussed the Brexit issues. Directly after the Brexit, it was only just some additional administrative work to do, so no major issues. But then step by step, you have seen the pictures with the problems with lack of lorry drivers. And so we were also affected by that. But our ENSOS colleagues, they did a pretty good job with their partners. So we didn't have any major issues. The situation was not easy, but the team did manage this very well, so we had no restrictions from logistics, transports, and so on. But it wasn't easy. Given the great job from the colleagues, they managed to do so. When it comes to the resilience of the production due to COVID, this is also a good question, because it's a tough situation. So we have very strict rules within the Südzucker Group when it comes to protecting our customers and our production from COVID. So far we haven't had major issues, but the situation was from time to time not easy, because if somebody in a shift gets infected, you have to have all the measures accompanied on, but the people helped each other and the ships helped each other. So far we could manage the situation, but we have to remain very carefully and stick to the rules, and that means, for example, it's clear we have the same hygiene measures that everybody else, with masks and distance and hygiene, and also we stick to the point that we try to minimize all physical meetings, so everything is done via Teams and virtual meetings, and we are very strict on that, because it's clear we have to keep out the virus from the plants. In administration we can help ourselves with home office, but in the plants, home office is just not feasible. There, people have to work together. And so far, I'm knocking on wood, we could manage this situation thoroughly. When it comes to Johnson Matthey, your question, what is the volumes balance? In the production process that we foresee with Johnson Matthey, the input factor is only ethanol. So there are different production ways to get into ethyl acetate, but the way that we have in mind is as raw material only ethanol, and then the outcome of this production process is ethyl acetate by over 99%, and less than 1% is hydrogen.
So your main product will be
ethyl acetate.
Ethyl acetate, and you will sell it to the customers you are heading for.
Yeah, for example, so the customer portfolio, the customers that we talk to is very interesting. I mean, ethyl acetate is a major basic chemical that's used in so many different or interesting markets. For example, it's used in coatings, for paints and lacquers or inks or thinners. It's in flexible packaging, as I said, for example, PET films and plastic manufacturing. Interesting also for adhesives, Kleber and so on, and but also very interesting for pharma and cosmetics, So you have it, for example, a typical product for ethyl acetate is nail polish remover or nail polish. So it's also used as base coats of in perfume, and what is also interesting is it's in food and beverages. For example, it's also used for decaffeination process of coffee, or as an artificial flavor. So there are a lot of interesting applications for that, and a strong customer need for a green product.
What is the reason for your investment corridor? You indicated 80 to 100 million for the investment in this new plant. It will be a greenfield plant, I guess.
It's a greenfield plant, but for example, this is the pure process. We do not foresee to build an own energy production. So we will have other partners for the energy productions. We foresee, or our plan is to have a full green energy production, but this is not in scope of the 80 to 100 million. So this will be from an outside partner, the energy.
And why don't you go to Leuna, or such an existing park with all the infrastructure in?
We have pretty much the same in mind. So we will go into a chemical park, which is close to Zeitz. It's 6 kilometers from the ethanol plant. And there we have the advantage. It's a chemical park, and we have access to the hydrogen network.
Ah, wonderful. A question on registration. What is your feeling? Will you get registration of all the appliances you need in due time, or will there be some political disturbance?
For which project? For ethyl acetate?
Yeah.
I mean, we start right now with the detailed engineering. I'm positive that we have a tough timeline, but we will have a full commitment to get this done. Project unforeseeables you can always have, but there's we are optimistic that we can do it in the timeline that I've scheduled. That means a final decision mid of this year, and then a start of production end of 2024.
Yeah. Could you give us an idea what will be the price point of the ethyl acetate, besides the fact that it will be green ethyl acetate, so with no CO2 emission, to get a glimpse on the compatibility?
Yeah. I mean, if you have a look on the market prices, so it's an ICIS quotation for ethyl acetate. So if you look into the market prices over the last 10 years, then the range, the ethyl acetate has been in a range plus minus 1,000 euro per cubic meter. And but recently there is also given us, like for other raw materials, there has been a strong increase. Yeah, so the current market price is much higher than that. It's for me difficult to foresee where the how long this higher price will continue. It's the same. We see the high oil price, we see the high ethanol price, and high commodity prices. So we will have to see how the market price develops. But roughly over the last 10 years, as an indication, it has been around 1,000 euros per ton.
And your calculation concerning ROCE and is on this price indication?
I mean, the ethyl acetate product, which is right now in the market, is by far over 95% a fossil product. So we strongly believe that there will be a premium for a green product, but this will heavily depend on the final usage, the customers, the positioning of the customers within their sustainability strategy, and the willingness for the end customers to pay a premium for a greener product. So we assume a strong premium on the fossil market price.
Are you striving for letter of intent of future customers concerning production or minimum products they will commit to buy, or what is
This is too early to say. I mean, I think given the announcement today, we had already preliminary talks with potential customers, which are very positive. But I also assume, given the announcement as of today, there will be a lot of customer requests, and we will discuss with all potential customers and see then what would be the best basis for partnerships when bringing this product into the market and selling this product. So it's open.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you very much, and good luck with this new product project. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time, and I hand back to Dr. Stefan Meder for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you, Natalie, for guiding us through. Then I close the conference call. Thank you very much for your interest, your questions, and your interest in Crop Energies. Please stay healthy and all the best, and talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Goodbye.